originally wrote that song? Okay, your quiz. It is Michael Bolton, and I think it was a Roy Bart. Ray Bart. And it was sung in a movie which was called what? Hercules. Okay, you got that one. So that was in 1997. So that song, for me, Go the Distance, is a perfect song for the Palm Sunday, because Palm Sunday is that tradition in the Christian tradition where Jesus begins Holy Week and his road to Jerusalem, where he is crucified on Good Friday and rises up on Easter. Now, metaphysically, Palm Sunday is the beginning of the greatest transformation known to man and womankind. It is the dying of false beliefs, of ego, of the self only. It's the dying of victimhood, lack, and limitation. And it is awakening to the absolute truth of who we are as divine God beings. In unity, we believe that the Bible is a metaphor, and it's a metaphysical interpretation where me and you and everyone is actually a player, is the main person in the story, and all the other characters are actually aspects of ourselves. So in the Bible, do you want to know what the central story really is? I mean, if you boiled it all down, it is the evolution of consciousness. It is the evolution of consciousness, your consciousness, my consciousness, from that limited, ego-based, fear-based, lack and limitation mindset, the first man, Adam, where, you know, it was all about me, and transforming and evolving into the consciousness of the Christ, the universal mind, where everyone is one, and we are one being, but in separate packages, and we're all the divine. So we see in the life and the example of Jesus' life, we see Jesus not as a, quote, savior, because we don't believe that we are sinners. You know, in the world Christian, to me, the definition is someone who believes that we were born sinners and we have to believe in Jesus in order to be saved, and that he died for my sins and I will go to heaven. To be honest, Unity does not believe that. We believe we're born as divine beings, and that Jesus was the greatest metaphysician and teacher of universal principles and laws, and that we can be just as he was. He was trying to teach us. The only sin I believe there really is, and sin is an archery mark term that means missing the mark. When I am not knowing the truth of who I am as a divine God being, and that every person is a unique, individualized expression of the divine. We're not meant to be alike, to celebrate the individuality that spirit is incarnated in every one of us. And we're here to remember and come back into that own consciousness that Jesus so wonderfully demonstrated for us. It's a transformation. I like to see it as, we all know the caterpillar, which is just intent on eating food and taking care of itself and has a mission to climb up that tree. But the caterpillar isn't the whole thing. And we have caterpillar mind, right? And then we could have the butterfly that we evolve in consciousness to being that free being. So Palm Sunday isn't actually about Jesus. Palm Sunday's about you. It's the Palm Sunday of you and of me. This is the day that each one of us can begin a radical transformation from our caterpillar, low, lack and limitation self to a free being who is free and unlimited as a butterfly. We all have a butterfly self. So the question is, are you willing to go the distance? Are you willing to go the distance to that evolution? Jesus was born And he has two names. It's Jesus or Joshua, which was his cultural name. And the other name that he was given was Emmanuel, which means one with God. And Jesus' journey was all about moving from the cultural state of mind to that one with God evolution of mind. So he began his journey, it's recorded, when he was age 12 and his parents couldn't find him. And they looked in the temple and there he was and he said, "Did you not know I was about my father's business?" See, something in him was already sparked about who he was, and he came and he was studying. Then we don't know what happened between in the recordings of his life, between 12 and approximately 30. I believe he probably was in India, and I do have a DVD that has Jesus in India. I think he probably ended up heading to India where he was learning from the yogis and the spiritual masters there. So Jesus was away and then came back probably around his in 30 years old, and he began to teach. So what did Jesus teach? I'm going to say that three things were the main teaching. Number one, that God is love, that love is the highest vibration. It is what we aspire to. When he was asked, what are the two main commandments? What's it all about? He said to love God, the Lord, the divine, with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and to love your neighbor as yourself. That's his teaching about love. Number two, he taught that we are divine beings. He said, "Know ye not that ye are gods?" He was trying to get through the cultural training, the fear-based training that those folks were conditioned, or we get domesticated, as Don Miguel Ruiz says. We get fear-based, but we're not born that way. So he was teaching that we are God beings. And number three, he taught universal life principles. How does life work? We are made in the image and likeness of the divine. Spirit is creation. It is the creative law. And we, as incarnations, we have this ability, and we are always creating our lives. And how do we do that? Universal law is, it is done unto us as we what? So that's the bottom line. Those, to me, are the core three teachings of Jesus, the great way shower. And in unity, his teachings basically encompass the five basic unity principles. Principle number one is God, the divine, creative energy is all there is. Number two is what? We are God beings. We are the divine in expression. Number three is that our thoughts and our beliefs are creating our reality. I basically just said those three things. Number four is that through prayer, affirmative prayer and meditation, that we connect with the divine mind. My caterpillar mind connects with the butterfly mind within me, my higher power, higher self, whatever you call that. And number five, the principle, is that we are to live the truths, not just have head knowledge, but to live these truths as if everybody is the divine in expression. That's not easy. And I am being challenged, but I'm actually impressed by some of that challenge, because let's just say, for instance, there's a politician or two that I have a lot of disagreement with, right? You might too. And what Spirit gave me as a practice, and I was shocked, and it said, so-and-so is a good man. And I was like, really? And it was like, no, so-and-so is a good man. His behaviors are what they are. But I felt good with that idea, because instead of focusing on the behaviors, which can be very annoying to me, he's a good man. And I was like, that just made me feel better. And it was quite a shock to start thinking, no, everybody's a good person in the core of their being. They've been lost and they're doing whatever they're doing. So it was a good switch for me to start living that principle even in my own consciousness. So Jesus was basically this great metaphysical teacher, but he was more than that. He was not only to teach, but he was here to demonstrate, to fully demonstrate and give us an example that if we followed his teaching and his example of how he was living and doing his life, that we too could emerge from caterpillar consciousness to that butterfly consciousness. So now we're going to jump into Holy Week, which we're actually, Holy Week starts the day before Palm Sunday. It's on Saturday, and it's called Lazarus Saturday. Lazarus Saturday is what happened was that Jesus was informed that Lazarus, a good, good friend, felt like he was a brother to him, was ill. Well, Jesus took his sweet time to get there. And by the time he got there, Lazarus had been dead for 4 days, laid in the tomb. And Martha, Lazarus' sister, said, "Lord, if you had been here, he wouldn't have died." And I'm giving you my interpretation. Now, Jesus went to the tomb, and he said, "Roll away the stone." And then he said, "Thanks to Spirit, to the power and presence." He was recognizing that the divine is everywhere and everything. And then he says, "Lazarus, come out." And sure enough, Lazarus came out. So what does this story represent metaphysically? Martha, Mary, and Lazarus are all aspects of our consciousness. Martha is the aspect of our external consciousness. It is that part of us that is the directive and objective part of ourselves. Then you have Mary, and she is the intuitive part. This is your left brain and your right brain, basically. One is, you know, very logical and taking care of business. The other one is more centered and intuitive. So these are two parts of our consciousness. And Lazarus represents the unconscious, not aware that we are the divine in any way, shape, or form. He was asleep. He was not aware that he was a divine being, and he needed to wake up. Being dead or asleep means he was dead to his divinity. He wasn't dead, and maybe he was dead, but here's the thing. He had to wake up to who he was, that he was a God being. So he needed to be awakened to the truth of his divine butterfly self. You know, the tomb is the cocoon where transformation takes place. So two questions for you. Where might you be asleep to your divinity? And what's the stone or the limiting thought or idea you have that is blocking you from being who you really are? So I'm going to invite you to close your eyes for a moment and take a breath and let it go. And now ask yourself, where am I asleep or unconscious of who I truly am? You may also ask yourself, where am I experiencing some form of lack or limitation? Because that lack or limitation, that divine discontent, is Spirit calling you into a greater expression of itself. And just listen without judgment. Good. Now ask yourself, what is the stone or limiting belief that is blocking my unlimited good? And just listen without judgment. Good. And now you may open your eyes. Awareness is the key to be aware and awake. The Buddha was once asked, "Who are you?" And they asked him, "Are you an angel?" And he said, "No." And then they asked him, "Are you a saint?" Again, Buddha replied, "No." "Are you a teacher?" "No," again. "Then who are you? What are you?" And Buddha simply said, "I am awake. I am awake." So we are in the process here of waking up, beginning on this Palm Sunday. It was Palm Sunday, but because of a sore throat, 5-year-old Sammy had to stay home from church with the babysitter. And when the family returned home, they came home carrying palm fronds. Sammy asked, "What are those for?" And his father said, "Well, people held them over Jesus' head as he walked by." "Wouldn't you know it," said Sammy, "the day I don't go, Jesus shows up." You know, right? So the story of Palm Sunday. Jesus is basically going to be heading into Jerusalem. He sends two of his disciples to get a young colt of a donkey. They bring the donkey back. They put their cloaks on the donkey. And Jesus sits on the donkey and starts in towards Jerusalem. And the people are coming out and they're throwing their cloaks down and they're putting palm fronds from the trees cut down. And they're saying, "Hosanna is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna into the heaven in the highest forms." So Jesus was heading into Jerusalem. How about some symbolism? What does this maybe mean for us? Why a donkey instead of a horse? Well, first of all, a donkey represents sure-footedness. It doesn't spook easily by crowds. It's going to be walking the road with steadfastness. It's also meek and humble. Doesn't need to have a big show of a horse riding into Jerusalem. And also that meekness portrays the surrender to that butterfly self, because Jesus is heading in to something that is going to be the sure death. Jesus actually represents the human or the caterpillar limited mindset, the cultural mindset, where the Christ is the butterfly, unlimited, free self. Jerusalem represents inner peace. It is the place of consciousness where there's only peace, oneness, harmony, and love. The crowds, what do they represent? Those crowds represent the people that are supporting you on your path, and also your own inner voices that you're cheering yourself on, because there is a sense that something good is going to happen. So there's an encouragement and support. The palms represent spiritual strength to go the distance and victory. Hosanna represents the energy that people have because they sense that there's going to be a release, a death of these limiting beliefs. For me, Hosanna is the same as yippee-doo, which you'll get if you're a first-timer here at the end of service. And the trip to Jerusalem represents our intention, my intention and your intention, because it's not about Jesus. My intention to erase, to crucify my limiting blocks of thoughts that are about lack and limitation and things that are not the truth. It's the crucifixion is the crossing out. The cross is crossing out the limiting beliefs of my caterpillar mind so that I can be the butterfly that I came here to be and I already am. Jesus had a journey towards this inner peace, and he knew, He was going to have to die to his limiting thoughts and beliefs. You don't believe he had them? He had limiting thoughts and beliefs. He was a man. He was a human being, as well as a God being. He was in this journey to demonstrate this crossing out of limitation so that we could follow that example. So he knew his purpose. And do you think that Jesus might have been a little bit afraid? He was a human being. I'll bet he was not like, I'm going in here and I'm going to be beaten and tortured and everything else. Well, it's metaphysical in my mind because we're teaching consciousness. It's our own inner enemies, the parts that beat us up, right? You all have an inner critic? There you go. The parts that are not very nice to ourselves in our own heads. And they want, see, the part of us wants to stay comfortable and safe with what we've been taught. But for me to break out of my comfort zone and start to say, I'm a God being, and so is everyone, including politicians. That's a huge step. That's breaking out of a consciousness that wants to have me immersed in a caterpillar, low vibrational thinking, fear-based thinking. So, how did he get to be in that space of going, I'm going to go for this? Well, number one, he already was grasping the truth of who he was, that he was a God being, as so was everyone else. And he knew his mission, his vision. He had a vision that something good will come from this experience. I have a purpose and a mission, and I am going to go the distance. What he had was this big why. Okay, I talked about that a couple weeks ago when I spoke of the power of will, which we studied the previous 3 weeks, that will is the experience of choice, power of choice. He had a choice. Commitment. I'm going to go for this. And I spoke of 5 ways to help us with commitment. And one of them was to have a big why. When you want to make a change, you got to have that big why, because when danger is staring you in the face, you're going to want to get up, say, never mind, I don't want to do this, I'm not doing this, I'm good with where I am. So that big why, I'm going because this is my mission and my purpose. So he had a vision. Now, the interesting thing, and maybe you know this, is that a butterfly, a caterpillar, in order to become a butterfly, the caterpillar has to die. It has to die to its own thoughts of itself being a lack and limited being. Hey, I know I'm a caterpillar and this is what I can do and I can't fly and that's crazy and I'm just gonna, this is me, this is my life. The caterpillar has to die to those limiting thoughts about itself. And here's the cool thing. About butterflies and caterpillars, the caterpillar has within it something that is called an imaginal cell. It has within its being imaginal cells. And these imaginal cells have to be activated for that caterpillar to die to its limiting beliefs, and those imaginal cells need to be activated for it to be transformed into the butterfly. What that says to me and to all of us is that we have a power of the imagination to see ourselves, to believe on a daily basis that I'm a God being, and so is everybody else, until I am so sure of it that I just live from that understanding, from that consciousness, that we're the divine in expression. I am creating my life. There's universal laws and principles, and I have power in my life. So using the power of my imagination, we can transform. But you got to ignite your own imaginal cells. Because if you stay knowing and thinking how that you're a limited being, you'll stay there. And there's no crime in that. But we're living, we're here to be the butterflies, free, unlimited, where we can go anywhere and we're full of beauty and we're adding to the world by pollinating, right? So at first, the caterpillar will fight the imaginal cells. it's going to fight, because this is what happens for us too. This is what I know. This is what I'm good with. But out of that comfort zone, and see, the imaginal cells are actually of a higher power. And so at some point, the imaginal cells are going to win out on that fight with that caterpillar-limited mind. And therefore, that caterpillar gets to be transformed. So for you and me to go the distance, to enter into the tomb or cocoon of transformation, there is a road, the road of transformation. And I'm going to give you how to do that. Are you good with that? Okay. And because you know how much we love acronyms here, helps us remember things, it's going to be ROAD, R-O-A-D, okay? So in order to travel and go the distance, you first of all are, remember who you are and recognize that part of you that is seeking to have a greater expression. Mary Morrissey says, "Spirit is ever seeking a freer, fuller, more expanded expression of itself as you." Which means anywhere that you have a longing or some divine discontent, that's your inner spirit. It is calling forth because it wants to have a greater experience in that arena of your life. So I need to recognize that my body temple, for instance, would like to have a greater strength and healthfulness. And so one of my road of transformation is joining a gym. And I've talked about that, and I went and worked out this last week. But there's areas of our life that are going to call us. I know I need to do this. And I finally made the commitment. And I'm willing to go the distance because I'm remembering who I am and what is calling itself forth. And I want to honor the divine within me. So, R, remember who you are and recognize what part of God wants to be coming through. O stands for opening the tomb. We've got to roll away the stone. Open the tomb of your limiting beliefs. We have limiting beliefs that are blocking us. You want to get past those limiting beliefs. And how you do that, we talk about denials, affirmation, and denials. So when you know what your limiting belief is, then you get to say, this limiting belief has no power over me. This, whatever it is, has no power over me because I'm an unlimited God being. And I'm going to say that and say that and say that. That's how Myrtle Fillmore became whole, perfect, and complete when she had so many illnesses. A, you want to activate your imaginal cells. You all have an imagination. You can use it for the worry, or you can use it for seeing yourself healthy, strong, powerful. Whatever it is that you would like to see more of in your life, use the imagination and feel it. And the D is to decide and do something that is going to decide what you need to do in order to go the distance. So you're making that decision and you're doing something. And I just spoke of that in the power of will, there's choice, commitment, willingness. But there's one more component. You want to know what it is? Yes. Very good. It's called courage, because getting out of the comfort zone, we're afraid. We're afraid that we might lose something. We're afraid of change. We're afraid of the unknown. We're afraid of death. We're afraid. We have a very fear-based world, and we don't even know what our fears are. What are your fears? That might be something to contemplate. And to look at your fears and go, I'm doing it anyway. Nelson Mandela says that courage is not the absence of fear, but the triumph over it. The brave man is not he who does not feel afraid, but he who conquers that fear. Feel the fear and do it anyway. In Mary Morrissey's class, do it afraid. Now, in order to be brave, There's four things you can do in that realm, too. Number one, admit that you're scared. Because if you're admitting it, really, what you're admitting is that you are, fear is a barometer that says you're heading into the unknown. You're in unknown territory. Fear is not a foe, it's a friend. I know when I have fear, sometimes it means I'm heading in the right direction. Number two, find a role model. Jesus was a role model. And or think about times when you had fear in your life and you acted anyway. You want to have something that will encourage you. Number three, give your fears over to Spirit. I lay them down. And the God voice will say, lo, I am with you always. And last but not least, you can turn your fear into faith. You can say, no, I have faith that this is going to work out. That Spirit is bigger than any situation, fear, doubt, worry. Spirit is bigger than. I have faith in that. So to walk the road of transformation, to go the distance, we get to do what Jesus has done. He has demonstrated. And he knew and he trusted the source of his courage, the divine within. My courage is in the faith of the divine, the Father, whatever you call that, within me, my higher power, I have faith. So he was able to be brave. My question to you is, what would you do today if you were brave? What would you do today if you were brave? So it is.